very beautiful evening to you all, faithful listeners of Life Lessons and faithful listeners of Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. You are now tuned into Life Lessons. And you know what? I sincerely apologize for those few minutes that we missed out from the beginning. You know, when a conversation or a topic is really so much highly anticipated and things like this happen. It's really so bad. But anyway, I thank you all for the love you've been showing me, for this particular topic. I see a lot of people are very, very, very much interested, which was, wow. I was like, wow, this is quite very interesting. Yeah. As you know, we're talking about differentiating between true prophets and false prophets. Whether prophets still exist in this now and day. I got a couple of messages. People are going to be tuned in. And I also got, a friend of mine also actually a lot of people just kind of like advertising or just sharing and creating awareness for this conversation. And I'm very, very appreciative of that. Nonetheless, this is Life Lessons. Now we keep you company. You are in my hands. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I shall be keeping you company from now up until 2100 hours. And of course, I will be sure mindful to open the lines for you all to come in and air opinions and ask questions and contributions and perhaps share with us your experiences. Nonetheless, I am joined in studio by a very wonderful brother of mine. Also, he's going to be helping me to break down this conversation. A very good evening to you, brother Thabani Tsuma, and welcome to Life Lessons.
Good evening, Sister Happy. I'm happy to be part of this today.
Okay. I hope you're not going to be addressing me, Sister Happy, the whole time on this. You know, right? Yeah. Anyway, you are so welcome. Thabani, let's first get to know you. Who is Brother Thabani? Oh, and by the way, okay. Yeah, just tell us before I actually say anything.
Okay. Brother Thabani is... I'll say, I don't know, how can I put it?
It's a tough question.
Especially if you are to address yourself to a lot of people. But anyway, Thabani is my name, Tsuma is my surname, and I'm also, actually the reason why I'm here today, it's because I have to partake in this and help and open the eyes of some people here. So by God's grace, I'm a born again Christian, I'm here to join you today to help you to open up a few things.
Thank you.
That you might need to understand.
Uh-huh.
And I'm currently here today because the topic that is set before us today here, I believe a lot of people they want to hear from it.
Absolutely.
And they're expecting me also to open up a few things that are perhaps hidden to them.
Mm.
Yes. So Thabani Tsuma is a child of God, fellowshipping in a local church here in Windhoek, Holiness Revival Movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we are going to enjoy today. Thank you.
I also believe the same thing here.
Amen.
Yeah. So tonight we're talking about differentiating between false prophets and true prophets. And of course, I will be posting some questions to our guest so that he can just help break down and for us to understand. I think he has also given a thorough explanation over there just to see so that it can broaden up our understanding. And for those of us who already maybe have such understanding, you will also be given a chance to actually come through and help us break it down or make us understand. Now, of course, questions will definitely be welcomed in this discussion. Yeah. So let's get right into it. I mean, we're talking about prophets. We're talking about true prophets, distinguishing between false prophets. Now, many, many times, of course, we talk up often. I've come to realize we always tackle, false prophets. I think I would first want off to, understand what a prophet is. Brother Thabani, would you like to get that, into it for us?
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity. Basically, a prophet. It's a person or it's an individual, that is, doing the work of God, that is, doing the work of God according to the will of God. And to the understanding of many people, they think a prophet is someone who prophesies. But it's beyond that. Actually, if you're a prophet, you're a messenger of God. Right? A messenger of God can do a lot of things to do the work of God, to pass the message of God to the people. Yes, so we have a lot of different types of messengers of God. Or I can say the prophets, they come in different forms, but at the end of the day, they can be all prophets. Yes.
Okay. Well, are there only prophets or are there prophetess as well?
Actually, let me say this. Let me first speak more on the prophet.
Okay.
Then I'll also say something on the prophetess. Right. So if you are a prophet, we are expecting, you are expected to convey the message of God to his children, to his people. Right. It can be a message that is giving a warning. It can be a message that is predicting the future, predicting the future, or something that is to come, more like foretelling.
Okay.
And you can be a prophet as a seer, someone who communicates with God directly. Someone who receives the message from God and had to convey it to his children. We have seen different types of prophets in a biblical perspective. For example, we have the likes of Moses. I believe you are all aware of Moses, the man who took the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. You can see that in the Exodus. Amen. So also we have another type of a prophet. For example, Jonah. Jonah was sent by God to deliver a message of judgment, a message of warning, and he's still a prophet of God. We have also Noah, who warned people about the flood. After he communicated with God, after God spoke to him, and he told him to speak to the people and warn them about the time that is coming, about the wrath that is coming, about the judgment that God was to bring. So now, to say this, if you are a prophet, you are a messenger of God. The question is, are also women messengers of God?
Okay.
Right? So if the women, they are the messengers of God, that means we have also have the prophetess. But do not confuse. A prophetess, it's also someone who is sent by God to convey the message to his people. If you are a wife of a prophet, it doesn't mean that automatically you are a prophetess. It's it's more divine. It's more something that God has to choose, that I'll use the particular child to be my messenger, to talk to my people. I'll talk to my people through ABCD.
Right. Now, it's funny how we often see maybe mix the two. You see somebody who is called a prophet.
Yes.
And then they get married to a particular sister. And then all of a sudden you see, you hear she's a prophetess. Is this title sexually transmitted or just how?
No, no. Actually, I think that is even why we're having this conversation today.
Okay.
Because, people, they tend to change the scriptures. They tend to change the word of God to fit their souls, to fit their desires. If you are married to a prophet, you don't automatically become a prophetess.
Okay.
Right. I'll give you an example, or a biblical example. We have Jonah in the Bible, who was a prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
But he was married to a prostitute. Hosea.
Okay.
Yes, Hosea. He was a prophet of God, but he was married to a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the wife of Hosea was a prophetess? No.
Okay.
That is not it. Okay. So this is to say that you cannot be a prophetess because your husband is a prophet.
Mm.
No. A prophetess is it's actually another word which describe a female figure of a prophet.
Okay.
Right. So if you are a female, you are a prophetess. If you are a male, you are a prophet. But it doesn't mean that your spouse inherits or you transmit that power that is given to you by God, that divinity that God you are with, the relationship you have with God, you doesn't transmit it to your spouse.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless by the choice of God.
Okay.
Yes, because God can choose to do that also as well. We saw it with Deborah, is it Priscilla and Aquila? They were also on the God chose to use both of them.
Both two spouses.
Yes. Oh. So you don't become a prophetess because your husband is a prophet.
Yeah, ne?
But you can be a prophetess because God chose to use
before you. Even getting married.
Before even getting married. Without marriage involved.
Okay.
We have Deborah was a prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
And she judged the children of Israel under the instruction of God. She was leading the Israelites under the instruction of God.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Miriam, who was Moses' sister. She was also called a prophetess by God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was the praise and worship heroine. I can say like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's arguable. It is believed that even praise and worship, it began with Miriam.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So she, God called her a prophetess because God chose to use her for the praise and worship side of faith or side of belief.
Mm, I hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Now for now, let's just pause here quickly for a short commercial break, but I'll be back to continue just now.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. And now we're still talking about this very particular topic that I'm noticing that a lot of people are very interested in, distinguishing between true prophets and false prophets. And also just trying to make sense whether true prophets still exist or perhaps maybe they were left back then in the Old Testament. Let's find out. Hey, yeah. So that's what we're discussing today. Now, you can also be part of the conversation shortly. I'll give you some time since I'm seeing that a lot of people are quite interested about it. Now, this is Life Lessons. If you're tuning in for the first time, well, make sure that you always do tune in. We're always alive every Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Now, I choose the topic and bring it out here as the title says, Life Lessons. We talk about situations pertaining to life. Now, I'm joined in studio by Brother Tabani Tuma. And of course, on the other hand, I also am joined in studio by Miracle Reynolds Haruna. Miracle, good evening. Thank you for tuning in with us.
Good evening.
Okay.
Mrs. Abi.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Pleasure is all mine. Now, of course, let me pose a question back to Brother Tabani Tuma. Now, I want to find out, do prophets still exist in this day and age?
Okay. Honestly speaking, the prophets, they do still exist.
Okay.
It's just the confusion that is brought up by the devil, just to confuse the work of God. But the prophets, they are still existing. God always have his messengers or his prophets in each and every generation. It doesn't mean that it can be only one prophet. There can be more than one.
Okay.
Yes, because every time God has to speak to his people, and he has to speak to his people through someone. He has to warn his people through someone. He has to judge or to bless also. The message has to come through his messenger. Yes. So we still have prophets even until today.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, what are the characters or of a what are character traits of a true prophet of God?
Okay. The character. The characters of a true prophet of God. Yeah, they are so
many. Eh?
Many.
Okay.
Even though nowadays they are scarcely who possess those characters. But there are so many. To begin with, true prophets of God, they speak the true word of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As it is written in the Bible. With its interpretation. Right? They are faithful to the word of God. Whatever they will speak, they will always refer back to the word of God. It must be in line with the word, with the word of God.
Yeah.
That's a true prophet. That's how they speak. They don't add things so that they benefit from their additions. They don't subtract so that they also benefit from their additions. Subtraction, no.
Mm.
They speak the word of God as is. That's number one. The other thing is they also promote the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They promote God. They promote holiness.
Mm.
Right? They profess, they live, and they act what they speak. They don't just become speakers. They also do what they speak. Those are true prophets.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like what we used to see with the nowadays. The prophets, they might speak something, but they are not doing it.
Mm.
And this man is not even yet in classified as a false prophet,
mm-hmm.
even though he's one. He's still claiming to be a true prophet, speaking the word, but he's not doing it. You understand?
Yeah.
Yes. We have people like that. But true prophets, they do as they speak. You understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And also, their lifestyle, it's holy.
Mm.
They live a holy life. I used to hear some people saying, you can't live a holy life. It's impossible to live a holy life. If it was impossible, God was never going to tell us to be holy.
Mm.
God was never going to tell us to be perfect. This means, as long as God said it, it is possible. If you fail or if one fails, it doesn't mean that everyone failed. If one can't be holy and the other one can't be holy, it doesn't mean that everyone can't be holy.
Mm.
You understand it?
Mm.
Even if you check it from long time, from the times of Noah, right? Noah, them, they were holy children of God, right? But if you check the other people who were there around him, they thought it's impossible.
Mm.
It was a trend not to be holy. It's not a new thing. The thing that you see now, it's not a new thing.
Yeah.
Even though now we have become worse than that time. But it's not a new thing that people, they despise holiness. They decampaign holiness. They want people to think that it's impossible, so that everyone perishes. On the other hand, is the agenda of the devil.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure that no one goes to heaven. But me and you today, we have to know that it is possible, and if we strive for it, we can make it.
Okay.
We just need to be in Christ and follow His will.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, moving over to you, Miracle, explain to us, of course, Brother Tabani has broken down some character traits of a true prophet, but for you, explain to us, what is a false prophet?
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's good I establish the fact that we have true prophets, then we have false prophets. Of course, if we have something that is true, that should ring the bell that we must have something that is false as well.
Mm.
Yes, because there's a way that truth is always fought against, or has a rival in so many ways, you understand, and that is false itself. So I want to actually inform us who is a true prophet, and then the reverse of it will be who is actually a false prophet.
Sounds fine.
You get it? Yes. So a true prophet is one who is called. Okay. So one must have to be called. That's the first criteria to actually indicate that this person is a true prophet. Called by who? By his fellow man? No. By maybe another prophet? No. Because some people go into the prophetics based on the fact that they have a superior prophet that, maybe lay hands on them and say, okay, you are a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So now that does not certify you to be a prophet. You must have to be personally called of the Lord as a prophet to be a prophet. And you know, I like the fact that our first speaker was saying that this word prophet should not just be narrowed down to the ministry of a prophet, of the prophet rather, in the Bible. But we must have to see it in the broader perspective that a prophet is one who actually represents the Lord and speak on behalf of the people to God. So he stands as an oracle of God.
Mm, and vice versa.
Okay. So, exactly. So now, a true prophet must have been called, then commissioned by God. Not just that he's called, because you can be called, but not really commissioned to be a prophet.
Mm.
Now, calling can, it simply means that God's interest is upon you. So, but the commission is what defines your assignment. Okay? So, God can now commission you and say, okay, go into the ministry of a prophet. I want you to stand out as someone who will be speaking on my behalf to the people. And it's not just a prophet, the ministry of the prophet that does that, but also the other four ministries also are incorporated into revealing the mind of God to the people. Okay?
Yeah.
So let me just rush it. Actually, I have a lot to say. So called, that man must, the prophet must be called, he must be commissioned, and he must be doing the will of God.
Okay.
Yes, he must be doing the will of God. So if you are a prophet, what makes you true is that you are doing the will of God. Yes, that what makes that, because if you are not doing the will of God, then the authenticity of your prophetic ministry is not there anymore.
Mm.
You are no longer a true prophet. Something has corrupted you, because the will of him that sent you is what will be your interest. Remember when our Lord Jesus Christ came, he said that he's here to do the will of his Father. You remember?
Mm-hmm.
He said his own will, he will not do it. So I think the people must have to know that doing the will of God is very cardinal to distinguish a true prophet. And also, just to wrap it up, I will say he must be a faithful and true person.
Mm.
Of course, the truth must have it to be there to make him true.
Yeah.
He must be faithful in what God commissions him to do, and he must be true about it. Faithful in the sense that he is not in any way careless about it. Careless by introducing what the Lord has not commanded him,
mm-hmm.
or by saying what the Lord has not. So faithfulness is what defines him to be a true prophet of God. Mm-hmm. So now the reverse is, a false prophet is one who has not been called, but he parades himself about as one who has been called. He has not been commissioned. You understand? Yes. He has not been commissioned, but he keeps telling people that I'm a prophet. He needs the validation to actually certify that he is a prophet. Because if people don't really see him, he need to tell them again and again. But for a true prophet, he doesn't really need to advertise himself. Mm-hmm. His works speaks for him. Jesus said that my work speaks for me. You understand? So now, you must have to get it clearly that he will, when he commissions himself by himself, or another man commission him.
Mm.
So that is actually, yes, that's actually a prophet for himself. Not a prophet of God to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then doing the will of God. He doesn't do the will of God. No. He does the will of men.
Mm-hmm.
What men want to hear is what he will tell them.
Mm-hmm.
What people are interested in is what he will say.
Okay.
So he can't do the will of God. So, and then, lastly, I will say that he is never faithful. His dealings are of unfaithfulness. It is very, very expressive in his works. In fact, if you evaluate his ministry, you will discover that there are a lot of loopholes in it.
Mm.
He's not, though he will defend it by saying that no man is perfect. That would be the defense. So, but the truth of the matter is that God equips those whom he calls, and there must be a consecration you can give yourself for God to actually commission you, even after he has called you. So you must have consecrated yourself before God can commission you to the people. Remember when he called, I hope I'm not going beyond my this time.
Don't worry.
So, okay. So remember when he called, what's his name? Jeremiah.
Yes.
He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and that I have ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So he has ordained him a prophet, but Jeremiah will not just come and start the prophetics. What if Jeremiah was born into an idolatrous family?
Mm.
Family that does not know God, though God has called him. So actually existence does not start here. Existence starts from eternity. Yes, there's a God knows you even before you are formed. So it's not the product of your parent meeting together that results to your birth. So it means that God actually knows everyone even before everyone comes into this timeline. So now God was now saying that he knows this boy and he has commissioned him to be a prophet. So, but that does not qualify him to start operating. Though he may be saying some things, God can be revealing things to him, but yet it is not a qualifier. Consecration must have to come before God commissioned the man. And so when he was now complaining of his inability, that he doesn't know what he can do, he's a child, this. And then God told him he will put his word in his mouth. He will do this. He will do this. And so the purging process was initiated to consecrate this young boy so that he can be able to assume the ministry of a prophet.
Mm.
You get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So two prophets, really most times, the process that takes them before their revealing. Remember the prophet John the Baptist?
Yeah.
Remember the prophet John, when he was recalled, he was, of course, the parent knew that he was a prophet. God separated him as a prophet. So, but he went to stay, consecrated himself before God in the wilderness. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. There was some discipline to the point of some self-denial. He was feeding on honey and wild honey and what do you call it? Is it locusts and wild honey?
Locusts, yes.
Yes,
locusts. So, those were his food. Whereas there are a lot of palatable dishes out there that he can be consuming. So, but because of his nature of separation, you understand?
Mm.
Because of his ministry, because of what he has to do with the Lord, he need to just give himself. God need to instruct him, separate yourself unto me. And he was separated. And the Bible says that he was a burning and shining light. Actually, there was none that could have been likened to him. Mm. Yes, because he really was given to God. So, but now you see the false prophet just, they spring up like banana trees. They come all of a sudden. There is no track record of consecration that God has brooded upon their lives, that they have actually experienced God, that God has molded their lives. In fact, sometimes God will need to put them through somebody that is also a child of God, to be able to mold them, just like in the case of Samuel. He needed to be under Eli so that he can teach him on how to hear God. That's why the fact that Eli was no longer relevant, because Eli has backslidden in a way. That's who God wanted urgently. So, that is just it. Let me just stop here for a start.
I want to add something. Uh-huh. I wanted to add something from what Brother Miracle said. Mm-hmm. You know the true prophets, right? The true prophets, when they are teaching, they point people to Christ.
Mm.
They don't point people to themselves, like what we see with false prophets.
Okay.
False prophets, they will point you to themselves. They will appear as they are the God themselves.
Mm.
They will point you to the substances, different substances that they say the substance carry power. It's an anointed particular thing by God. So turning away the faith of people from God to a certain substance or to themselves.
Mm. Mention those substances. You say substances, but what do you mean by those substances? Maybe examples of them?
Oh, substances. We see like nowadays people, they use salt.
Mm-hmm.
They say this salt is carrying power. Some they are using anointing oil, holy oil, anointing water. I even saw another article. Now there is a holy air. It is bottled in a can. And if you check the ingredients of that holy air, it is written 2% from Israel, 2% from where, 2% from where. And that is your prophet, that is your pastor. And you see that the message they are carrying, or the teaching that they give to people, it's not biblical at all.
Mm.
You understand? It's turning away the faith of people. And talking of that can of holy air, it is written the instructions of use. It is written, take 2 sniffs per day. That means you open a bit, you sniff. How do you preserve the air that is left there once it's open? That particular holy air. You see, these are the false prophets that we are seeing nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And their doctrines, they are not biblical. Their teachings, they are not biblical. They are measuring in things of the world. They are measuring in things that are designed to bring gain to themselves. Some of them, they do like this. They will prophesy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If their prophecy did not come to pass, they will make up a story to cover up their prophecy. You understand?
Yeah.
And those are the prophets that we see nowadays. Those are the prophets that we have nowadays. If you check the way they do, what they speak, there is no holiness in it. They despise holiness. They don't emphasize on eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They don't emphasize on that. They live as if, God will understand. You can be like this. Ah, pastor, oh, prophet, I have a situation like this. Ah, God will understand, my son. Ah, I'm in fornication. They don't call it fornication. They call it dating. They give names to sin. You see, the Bible say men, during the last days, the men, they shall be inventors of sin.
Mm-hmm.
They will invent sin names to give to a particular sin so that it will fit them, so that it will make people to rest and to be comfortable sinning.
Hold it right there. So you're saying if I go to my prophet and say, prophet, can you pray for me and my boyfriend? We are not understanding each other. Can you pray for me and my boyfriend? Is it wrong or?
To begin with, this boyfriend and girlfriend thing, it came with the false prophets. into the Church of Christ. Mm. You understand? From the beginning, it was not like that. If you want a wife or you want a husband, you ask from God and God will give you. Right?
Yeah.
You don't get yourself a boyfriend who is going to be playing a role of a husband whilst the person did not even marry you. Because from the beginning, there was no boyfriend and girlfriend. There was marriage.
Mm.
Either you are married or you are not married.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
These fake prophets that we are talking about, some of them, the false prophets, some of them, they are divorcees. And we know that the scriptures are against divorce. You understand? But they are divorcees. They are the ones who also are leading people to be partaking in sins within the house of God. And they are the people who have the congregation because they will teach that cheap gospel. And people love cheap gospel.
Yeah.
Because they love comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
What are some of the character traits of a false prophet? But before you get to that, what do you make of these prophets that do actually pray for boyfriend, girlfriend relationship? What do you say of them?
I think they are not doing the will of God. I think they are not doing the right thing. They must repent from that.
Mm.
You don't encourage sin as a man of God, as a messenger of God. You don't encourage sin. And you don't pamper people to be staying in sin. You have to rebuke people. You have to correct people.
Okay.
Don't worry, because people, they are going to say you judge them.
Yeah.
People, they confuse the rebuke, they confuse correction, they confuse warning, they confuse awareness with judgment. You warn them, they say you are judging them. You aware them, they say you are judging them. You rebuke them, they say you are judging them.
Mm.
So as a man of God, if someone comes to you, if you are, you want to go to heaven, if you are called by God, like the brother said, you have to be called by God and to fulfill the assignment of God, not your own assignment, the assignment of God. So if you are to fulfill the assignment of God, you have to do the right thing. And you cannot be praying for boyfriend and girlfriend. Pray for husband and wife. There are a lot of married people are having issues. Pray for them instead of wasting your prayer on such a sinful act.
Mm. Brother Tabani, what are some of the other character traits of a false prophet?
The other traits of your false prophet. They don't teach holiness,
uh-huh.
Right? They say holiness is old fashioned. They say holiness is the law, but the right thing will never cease to be right. Whether new or old, it doesn't cease to be right. It remains right. Just as the truth, whether it's 200, it's 2000 years old or it's yesterday, it remains the truth, right?
Okay.
And these false prophets, they don't preach holiness. They despise mm-hmm. holiness, right? And also they measure in things of the world during their teaching. Prosperity, gospel, God will bless you, you will be married, you will have ABCD in the first place. Are you even truly born again? Are you a true child of God or you are lukewarm? If your prophet already is at a fault with God, where do you think you also as a follower you are heading to? So you will find out that these prophets, when they teach, they will teach people things that will comfort them, things that will make them not to run away, not to go anyway. Because some of them, the agenda is they are working for the enemy. Some of them, they were in Christ, but they what? They diverted
mm-hmm.
From the truth, and then they followed what? The world.
Okay.
So now they are measuring in the things of the world for the sake of their own belly, for the sake of their own gain. I hope that one is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Miracle, over to you. How can one identify a false prophet?
I hope you will also give me the opportunity to talk about the true prophet.
I will. Miracle, before I actually do let you go ahead, hold on for me.
Okay.
Life Lessons, good evening. Life Lessons, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you, sir? Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Brendan.
Brendan?
Yes.
You're calling from?
From Windhoek.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have been listening.
Okay.
And there was a comment that my brother actually said.
Mm.
Regarding false prophets, and if I restate the statement, he said that a false prophet usually uses anointing oil and anointing water.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand where the perspective is coming from.
Okay.
Because the Bible also doesn't really give us a straight narrative on anointing oil being used and anointing water also being used.
Mm-hmm.
But however, I also just wanted to add on, or also just to add, yes, basically to add on what my brother said, that some of the spiritual things that are exercised in churches, we should be very open-minded to it. Because, you see, even Jesus said, some of the things that I want to teach you, I cannot teach you now, because you cannot comprehend them. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of the Holy, but the Spirit of God is coming, unto whom He will teach you and guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that there is a certain doctrine that Jesus was supposed to give us, that He didn't give us, but the Holy Spirit was to give us. That is not captured in the Bible.
Okay.
So it could be that the anointing oil and the anointing water doctrine was not captured by Jesus really, but it was to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So also, now what I wanted to say is this. You see, not all churches that use anointing oil and anointing water are wrong. Because the power of God can, as much as God can use a vessel, an individual, a prophet, God too can use mediums that are materials, such as anointing oil and anointing water.
Okay.
Why would God tell Moses, carry a rod, and by that you will do miracles? Why did God not say, just go like that?
Mm.
Why did God say, carry a rod? And a rod is a physical material,
mm-hmm.
just like anointing oil is.
Mm.
And then the irony is that when Moses arrived in Egypt, he casted the rod unto Pharaoh, and it turned into a snake. And Pharaoh said, that is child's play, let me call my magician. And the magicians did the same thing that Moses did. They casted rods, and the same rods turned into snakes. So meaning the same rod that God was using, the magicians also used rods to do a similar miracle that Moses could do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if there were spectators that were watching that whole event, and let's say Moses didn't come in and display that miracle? Do you know that the spectators, if they just saw the magicians do that miracle first, they'll say, this surely is not of God. The moment Moses would come in later, because the spectators witnessed the magicians first, then they will call the act of Moses not of God.
Okay. Can I ask you some questions?
Yes.
You rightly quoted about Moses and the rod, but can you tell me any other place, perhaps in the New Testament, where somebody had to use the rod like Moses did?
Okay, not necessarily the rod now in the New Testament, but you see, there was the incident of the man at the pool of Bethsaida, and then that man was blind, isn't it? Jesus mm-hmm. came to him, and told him to go and jump in the water for his healing. In other words, Jesus was the water that the man went to go was to go and jump in.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was what stirred by an angel, meaning it was anointed water. And people that
say that again. That the water at Bethesda was actually anointed water. That what you're saying?
Exactly, because it was stirred by an angel.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it had to be, because then it was touched by the divine.
I hold you right there. Thank you. I get that point. I get that. Okay. So now that water was stirred by the angels and then it became anointed water. Now, nowadays prophets use anointed water. Tell me which angels come and stir their water so that they can go and sell it to the people and call it anointing water.
Now, that's the problem because spiritual things you cannot.
You need to explain to us, my brother. You can just
Okay. Okay. Now let me break it down.
Okay.
You see, not everything is physical. Some things are spiritual, including the very air that you are breathing in.
Isn't that what a lot of prophets use against a lot of undiscerning people and people who don't know the word? That when they cannot explain something, they see some things are spiritual. But hold it right there. You spoke about anointing oil and holy water being used. But I take you now to James chapter 4, verse 13. I read from there. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And then it says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This scripture is so clear. It's not the anointing oil that is help, that is going to heal this person, but rather says, and the prayer of faith. Anointing oil in this aspect actually comes in as an ailment. When a person is actually sick and they go to the hospital and they get some sort of medicine to rub on themselves. So it's sort of like communicating comfort to this particular person, sort of like to soothen their hearts and their whatnot. And the scripture is so clear that if any among you is afflicted, in other words, if any among you is sick, so it's somebody who is at home, who is not able to go to the church, and then they have to call for the elders of the church and bring them, and then the elder comes to their household and actually pray for them and anoint them with oil because this person is very sick. Now you get that somebody who has a headache, a common headache or stomach ache, cannot call for the elders of the church to come and pray for him. So why is it that anointing oil is being spread in the church left, right and center when the scripture is so clear? And, let him answer and then you can come in. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, do you... okay.
I want you to explain. Yes.
I'm answering. Mm-hmm. Why was the anointing oil a prerequisite to the healing? Did we ever think probably that is an instruction given by God in order for healing to come? There has to be an anointing first that has to take place.
Okay. Because just hold on for me. I'm so sorry. We have a scheduled commercial break. Just stay on the line.
All right.
Okay.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Bernard, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you so much. No, I was just also asking, have we ever thought why the anointing oil was a prerequisite to the healing? Could it be that in order for the healing to take place, there has to be an anointing that has to first take place before the healing comes? Because the first instruction is that you have to be what? Anointed before the healing comes.
Mm.
Have we ever asked ourselves why God gave that instruction?
Okay. So if I'm sick and I'm all the way in America, and Bernard, you're my friend, and I know that you're a believer and a very prayerful person, I can ask you to pray for me and I get healed because you're not there physically to pour anointing oil on me?
100% no. Healing can take place without the anointing.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to establish is the significance of the anointing oil, because remember, even when kings were to be anointed as well, were to be chosen, there had to be an anointing that took place.
Okay.
So there is a significance that we are for looking that anointing oil has that is significant to heaven that we do not really understand. Could it be that there is a mystery that we haven't understood yet? Because now that we haven't understood that mystery of the anointing oil, then we fall, look, and say, then it is evil.
Mm. Now, you speak about, of course, kings being anointed with oil. But have you come to notice, if you've made a good study of the Bible, that it is only kings that were anointed with oil? David was anointed with oil, but Samuel was a prophet, was never anointed with oil. And Moses was a prophet, was never anointed with oil. Jesus was a prophet, was never anointed with oil. Are you taking note of that? They were anointed with oil so that the Holy Spirit could now come upon them. But then for the prophets themselves, they didn't need to be anointed with oil.
Why?
Because the Spirit of God was on them. It wasn't necessary for them to be anointed with oil.
Okay. And so, let me also just ask this question.
Okay.
So what is the difference between someone being chosen and someone being anointed?
Someone being chosen and someone being anointed.
Yes.
I don't think I have the answer.
Let me put it into this perspective. You see, like David, the Bible said before David was anointed, the Bible said he was chosen. And God said, go to the house of Jesse, for I have chosen an individual. When you arrive there, anoint the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question of still comes, what is the difference between being chosen by God and being anointed by God?
Okay.
Then I think you'll find your answer.
I'll ask my guest to answer that one. But then I thank you so much for making time for us.
Okay. So, sorry. And also just my final word that I wanted to just conclude.
Okay.
You see, also, when we're talking about this whole, because the prophetic thing is a very delicate and sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, if we're not open-minded to understand the spiritual things, or the prophetic itself, we might miss the blessing that is within the prophetic. Because there are some things that prophets do that will look weird, that and will say, then this prophet is fake. Imagine, the Bible says that Jesus, right, spat on the floor and he mixed his saliva with sand and put it on the eyes of the blind man, and that man began to see. Imagine you're going to church on a Sunday, and you're invited for the very first time, and you cannot see, or you wear spectacles. And then the man of God says, you cannot see, please bring sand from the outside. And he spits on that sand, and then he rubs it on your eyes.
Immediately I will think and I will know within me that that's a false prophet. You know why?
Exactly.
Why? Do you know why?
Why?
The shadow of Paul was healing the sick, but the shadow of Peter wasn't healing the sick. There are some uncommon miracles that God does that cannot be repeated in this day and age. One uncommon miracle as such is the fact that God held the sun up when Joshua went for battle. The battle at where? Tabani?
Joshua went to battle with the Amalekites.
I think it was the Amalekites. And he told the sun to stand still, and the sun stood still. And the Bible is so clear that that will not be repeated again. Now, a lot of false prophets, of course, go about doing very unusual things and carry the name of saying, no, you will not understand the prophetic. But that is wrong. Everything that should be done should be sort of in the open, so that everybody gets it clear. There's no way there should be confusion. It's not so.
Okay, yeah, no, I understand.
There's no secret interpretation of the scriptures.
Exactly.
Okay, on that one, I understand. But also now, let's say for me, I'm inspired by Jesus now.
To do what? So to put sand on someone's eyes.
Exactly.
Never. It can never happen because Paul didn't repeat that miracle. Peter didn't repeat that miracle. None of the New Testament people repeated that miracle of putting sand on somebody's eyes and open their eyes. So that clearly already
comes. Even if you are to repeat it.
Yeah.
We know that those, uncommon miracles, they are not to be repeated. But even if you are to repeat it, if we see you doing it twice and twice and twice and twice again,
yeah,
then we can see there is an error there.
Or we will question where the power is coming from.
Yes, we will question where the power is from. And check here, especially talking of the anointing oil and the holy oil, right? You see how it is done with these false prophets nowadays. Check the way they are practicing that use of anointing oil and that holy oil.
It's exaggerated.
It's exaggerated. One, first of all, they are selling it themselves, right? Mm. And second of all, they even have most of these false prophets, they have a service, anointing service, whereby everyone is carrying his own container of anointing oil. But in reality, if we are to follow the scripture, it must be from a priest, anointed man of God, or the chosen man of God who is was chosen by God to do his work, not each and everyone. And it only happens on serious occasions. You don't just come and say, today there is an anointing oil service. You are going for an interview tomorrow, take the anointing oil, go and use it tomorrow, you pass. You are going for an exam tomorrow, go and write your exams, anoint your pain with oil, you're going to pass. That is not biblical at all.
That's true.
That is not biblical at all. We want to do things according to the scriptures. The thing you said, there's a part you said, there are things that we don't understand, that maybe they are still to come, still to be revealed to us. We will not rely on that because we don't have that information and we don't have the basis of that. You understand it? So we will deal with what is on the scripture, so that whatever it is done, it is supported by the scripture. The scriptures, they are complete to guide each and everyone to do the will of God and to go to heaven, to live a holy life, and to do the right things before the Lord. Whatever it's not revealed to us, it's not for us to know. It's not for us to do it without knowledge of how to do it. It's not for us to assume.
Okay.
Yes.
But over to you, Bernard, before your closing remarks, actually, before, yes.
All right. My closing remarks also is just on the last sentence that my brother said.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in the book of John, I think 5:25, okay, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You see, the Bible said that there are so many things that Jesus did that were not recorded in the Bible because the Bible could not contain
them. Okay.
Yes. So meaning that there are some certain things that probably that we could learn from that could benefit us as Christians and also on how we operate as believers, on how we
Hold on.
So now our lack of open-mindedness on to say that that we are just following this Bible that is compiled, because mind you, that there are some books that are not even in the Bible. Have you ever asked yourself why those books are not in the Bible? And the reason, yeah,
okay,
number one, the book of Enoch, the book of Maccabees.
Ish, my brother, no.
Okay,
no.
Relax.
The Bible is complete, okay?
Okay, it's complete. But the question that I have is that, are we really sure that the books that were removed from the Bible, has God approved for those books to be really removed, or God also does say, okay, for the sake of them being removed, I'm not okay with it, but let the compiled books remain. But them that want to seek, the Bible says, seek and it shall be revealed unto you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go an extra mile from those compiled books.
Not in that way.
Okay. No, I understand, but here is the thing. You see, being open-minded as a believer is very much important. And there is nothing wrong with going by what is written in Scripture. That is for us. But what I can say is this. If you are hearing me and you really want to make impact as a believer, be open-minded.
And I'm a very open-minded person. But you know what? Isaiah 34 verse 16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of this shall fail, not one shall lack her mate. For his mouth hath commanded it and his spirit hath gathered them. So scriptures, you know, we must use scripture to interpret scripture, right? Not just look for books that already don't consist. And I think if those books, were necessary for believers and for their making heaven, they would have been incorporated and preserved as the Bible is. But nonetheless, Bernard, I do appreciate your point and really just, bringing out that. And yeah, let me move on also, to let my other guest, come in and teach us on more. But you're welcome to call back again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bernard.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, now Bernard says one should keep an open mind. Of course, I agree that one should keep an open mind, especially when we're talking about biblical stuff. But then again, one should also be very cautious. But let me move on to guest number two, Miracle. Our guest has also asked about the difference between anointed and an anointed and chosen. But once you do answer that question, please do get into how can we identify false prophets.
Oh, I've been waiting like a hungry dog to actually. Yeah, but the problem is that I seem to be limited since I'm not physically there in the studio.
Exactly.
So I can't really do it. I wish I felt sidelined in a way.
So sorry.
In fact, happy you know, I feel you have eaten into our own time. Who are the guests? Yes.
So sorry.
So,
uh-huh.
Let me spare you for that.
Okay, please.
Okay. So our brother was raising relevant questions, which I wish to actually cause him to think in some lines.
Mm.
So, but now with this time, I don't even know where to start. Okay, now let me just address what's on my what's before me,
mm-hmm.
what I actually want to educate the people about, and then I will now make reference to his questions.
Okay,
so now, you know, a false prophet, one cardinal sign that the Bible gave us about a false prophet is when he speaks something and it didn't actually come to pass. Okay? That when he sees something, for example, he said, thus saith the Lord, there will be no rain, no sun tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, but then tomorrow came and then rain and sun came out. So it simply means that God didn't actually say it. Because if God actually said it, it must have to come to pass.
Okay.
It must come to pass.
Mm.
Yes. Except for prophecies that are conditional. Now, we have prophecies that are conditional, that when you say, thus says the Lord, this will happen. Now, you are to know, are there conditions attached to this prophecy for it to actually realize or not? So, because if conditions are not met, it's possible that the Lord will withhold. He might not do it.
Okay?
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's one thing I want to say.
Give
so
an
now,
example of
cardinal
that.
Sign. Sorry?
Can you kindly give an example of that? If conditions are not met?
Okay. So, there are various examples, but which one would I choose now?
I don't know, maybe like a common one?
Let's say that he promises, God told you that he is going to bless your life, but maybe bless you with a child, but he wants you to go and donate. Are you getting it? He wants you to go and donate to the poor. You have a lot of resources under your care. Or he even wants you to go and be a blessing to a struggling community. He might want you to go and do that. So, of which, if you don't do that, that condition of you blessing you with a child might not really be met. Because he wants to do it, but he knows that Money has entered into your heart. So he wants to break it. He wants to destroy it. That the grip of money in your heart, so that he can be able to actually bless you. It's not as if God will not bless you without a condition. Okay. But sometimes if he brings condition to it, it's for your good. It's because he really wants to help you. There is something he wants to help build inside of you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a lot of examples. Yeah, if you have dealings with God, you clearly understand what I'm trying to say. So, but conditions can be attached to a prophecy. That's just what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are scriptural examples as well. Yes, he told, you know, the Lord said that he was going to destroy, okay, he said if he says that he's going to destroy a wicked man.
Mm.
Yes, and that wicked man repents. Despite the fact that the Lord said that since he's a wicked man, judgment is bound on him. But there is a condition for judgment not to actually come. I don't know if the example is even fitting.
Mm.
So, but all I'm trying to say is that if the condition is met, God will avert. But if the condition is not met, God will actually rain judgment. So maybe Jonah and the city of Nineveh, some other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all right. So let me quickly go to the next. So that is cardinal.
Mm.
And there are not time to open scriptures here. I would have done that. So now the next thing is lies. Lies is in their mouth.
Are we now into identifying false prophets?
Yes, that's okay. What we have been doing all this. That's what I've been saying.
Okay.
That's what I've been saying, yes. That the first is that they will speak a word, but it won't come to pass.
Okay.
So now, the second I'm saying is that they have lies. In fact, they have, what do you call it? Sweet swelling words of vanity. You will see them, they will tell you that they travel for an outreach to somewhere. They can't give you a specific location. They will say when they went there, there was this woman. They can't tell you the name of the woman. They will say this happened, and I did this, and this happened. They imagine, in fact, lies and their tongue is glued. You can't separate it. So they keep lying in the name of the Lord. If you verify those things that are seen, you will discover that they are false. So, if a false prophet, but the problem is that these people have been bewitched. The people under them.
Mm.
The people under their ministry. They have been bewitched in a way. In fact, that's why Paul was shouting on Galatia. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? As in, what has altered the state of your reasoning? You know, I was sharing with the pastor the other time. I was saying that I discovered that even the professors and the doctors and those ones who actually we suppose that they are learned,
mm.
when they go to the church, they tend to drop their brains at home.
Mm. They tend to do what?
They tend to drop their brains at home. Their brains will be at home, and then they will come with an empty skull to the church. They can't. So when the prophet said this and said this, so you will be wondering, okay, wait, excuse me. So does that mean that this man is not reasoning? Does that mean that this man... some basic things. It's not as if they, no, these are just basic things. Obvious manipulation, lies. I don't want to be mentioning names because, you know, it's not just idea, but it's just that it's so obvious that you don't need the Spirit of God to even distinguish them in these days.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even need the Spirit of God. Common sense can distinguish them based on, because the characteristics are so visible. They are so visible. Okay. So lying lips. I'm trying to say that their words cannot be verified. They are not verifiable. That's one thing I'm trying to say. That if you try to dig deep, you will discover that there's no substance in what they have said. They are clouds without water. And it cannot hold. Okay?
Yeah.
So, then the next thing is that this prophet, these ones that are called false prophet, they prophesy for gain. Oh my goodness. The gain is their interest. They prophesy after the manner of soothsayers. You know, they are soothsayers. Let me not even sugarcoat it. They are soothsayers. They are not actually prophets. It's just that people call them prophets. But of course, they can be called prophets, but not of God. I think if that suffix is added, it will really balance the thing. Prophets, but not of God. Prophets of Belial. Prophets of the devil. Because the issue is that they prophesy for gain. They will tell you, okay, God said he wants to do this. So, but you must have to go and do these things and do these things. And all these things that they are saying, if you check it, is for their pocket. You say, give me 100,000. Wait, God called you. He said, freely ye have received, freely give. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the basis for ministry. God does not attach a price. You remember I gave an example. I said he can give you a condition and say that, okay, he wants you maybe to go and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not about trying to make the minister fat. So, this one, their God is their belly. So all they're trying to do is to redirect people into enlarging their bank account. So you will see that their prophecy is always tied to substance. They want to gain something. So for this. Now, if you remember the story of that soothsayer, an apostle, Paul, in scriptures, you will discover that she was bringing much gain to her master through soothsaying. She was actually prophesying things to people, and those things were actually happening. Or she was saying things into the future, and people were believing her. And she was bringing much gain to the master, but it was not of the Spirit of God. So it took discernment for Apostle Paul to get that and to flush that out. Okay? So I'm trying to say these people prophesy for gain. All right. Time will not allow me to say more.
Mm.
So, but the next thing is I would want to say that this false prophet have a lot of pride and popularity. In fact, that one is a major trademark. Once you see that, is bold in their comportment, the disposition, what they display before the people, you can palpate pride out of all that they are saying. I'm telling you. You will see him always trying to, get some glory to himself, get some accolade to himself. There are people who have some second mic by their side. Always to praise the man of God.
Mm.
The desert, the mountain, what do you call the name of the thing? Mountain breaker, the river divider. The glory has gone all to the man of God.
Mm.
Pride is palpable when you go to such gatherings. So those people actually, they are not for God. The Bible says that God despises the proud. He giveth grace unto the humble. But this one's because they are not of God. The pride is what you're going to see. Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before it fall. So you will see it very visible in them. They are after their father, the devil. He was proud. He was the genesis of pride. And we saw how it happened. So pride and they do things for pride and also for popularity. They want to be seen. Let me tell you, anywhere you go, I believe my listeners are hearing me. Anywhere you go and you see that the emphasis of the man of God is on himself. Not that he will not preach about Jesus. You know, he will say some things about Jesus. Are you getting it?
Mm-hmm.
But the focus is on himself. The miracles that he will be sharing is all directed towards making him relevant. I'm telling you, you will pick it from his words. So he tried to make himself popular by all those things. So these ones, when you see them, you know they're kind. These ones, they're false prophets. Now we are seeing so that even babes will understand, because they are the ones that are gullible. Babes in Christ, I mean those ones who are children, because they are the ones that the Bible says that they are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have balance in God. And so they don't understand his ways. They don't even study their Bible. So how would they even have understanding? So anybody that, even if he got in touch with a familiar spirit, and the familiar spirit gives him the power to see and to foretell things, people will assume that it is God using that man. Where are they God? In fact, some of them come from very, very demonic background. They are weak family in that, witches and wizards in, there are witches and wizards in their family. Their grandparents are into all those things. And so they also inherited it. But then they are looking for money. So they need to come under the canopy of the church so that they can be able to get some gain, because they discover that in the church, you can really, win people very easily in the name of the true God, whereas they know that they are false. So that's just, by the way. So now, the next thing, I hope I've not exhausted my time.
You kind of have, actually. I want to do a follow-up question on that which you spoke about last, but let me first hand over the ball into Brother Thabani Scott. Now, of course, Thabani, give us an example of false prophecies and wonders that just can be from God, or things that just happen, or that they do that definitely it is, you can tell, that this, no, no, no.
Okay. These ones are very, very simple, and they can be seen by anyone. Like what the brother was saying, that you don't even need the Spirit of God to discern what kind of spirit is this man or using. For like some of them, they will speak about, they will be saying, they will prophesy about the soccer results. They will tell you, Barcelona will win, what you call this? Manchester will win. But in reality, that has got nothing to do with edifying someone's spiritual life. God cannot give such a prophecy to a person. What does that have to do with God? You understand? Some, they will tell you that God told me that you must go and do the betting tomorrow. You will win money. That has got nothing to do with God. Some, they even tell you that they will prophesy what kind of an underwear you're wearing, where, how did you position, what is in your fridge, what is that has to do with God? Obviously, you will see that this is false. This is, there is no God in this. There is nothing true about this.
Yeah.
And you will see some, they go to an extent of causing chaos to the families. They will prophesy and say, you have a problem. They know sometimes men or women, they have issues in marriage. Because those people, they are subtle. So they'll come and start to say, I can see in your marriage, it's like this. It's your auntie who is witching you, or it's your sister who want to take over your husband. You understand? Causing a lot of confusion within it. Some, they will tell you your mother is witching you. Your mother, the one who keep you for 9 months in, who carried you for 9 months in her stomach and took care of you until you become who you are. And today, the prophet, the false prophet will come and tell you your mother is witching you. You understand?
While you're at that point, are you saying that my own mother cannot be a witch?
Your own mother can be a witch.
Okay.
We cannot deny that.
Yeah.
But a false prophet, even you yourself, you will discern that, where is my mother fitting in this? How can my mother witch me in this way? It doesn't add up.
But I think the point you would rather make is the way the message is conveyed.
Yes.
Some of them are untrue. But then there could also be cases where your own biological mother could be witching you. There are cases like that.
Yes.
But then I think it shouldn't be delivered in such a manner, because the aim shouldn't be to divide families.
You know, honestly speaking, when you are to be witched by your mother, I don't know what kind of spirit will need for you for your mother will need to turn against you after doing whatever she has done for you in her life. Unless if she grew you up so that she will kill you in future.
Well,
you understand?
Not all parents are loving and darling is.
Yes.
Is it
so there is one thing that they used to say in the world, that the only person who wish to see you progressing, it's either your father or your mother. All other people, they will try to be friends, they will try to be close to you, but the moment you try to progress more than them, they will try by all means to bring you down. But your parents, they'll always try by all means. Okay, we can't dispute that they can be witches, they can witch their children, but now that means from the beginning they've been trying. That means from long time they've been trying to reach you, and maybe by the grace of God, God has also been protecting you. And the same parents again, if they are said to be witching you, if it comes from a false prophet, you have to also see that this is set to cause confusion within me. This is set to cause division before me. Imagine you and your daughter or your son. Tomorrow, your son comes and say, "Mommy, you're watching me."
Okay.
You see, take it that put yourself into those shoes.
It's very painful. It's although it is happening. It is nowadays. Happening. Eh?
Yes. Yeah. But it's something that it will need a true man of God to discern that and to guide you in a proper way, to speak with you in a proper way.
Mm.
No, if it comes from a false prophet, you will see it. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. It says, by their character, you mm-hmm. understand?
Mm-hmm.
By their doctrines, by their teachings,
mm-hmm.
you understand? You will see that this thing is coming from a false man. This thing is not true. This thing is set to bring confusions and divisions within. It can be a family, it can be at work.
Mm-hmm.
We have been through such cases.
Mm-hmm.
Personal experiences.
Share one, please.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay,
one.
Okay.
But what I can say is that to some extent you will hear that your mother is doing ABCD. You understand? Or your sister is doing ABCD, right? But if it comes to reality, you will see that this was a lie. This was never like that. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So really, false prophets, they are there, and there are a lot of things that they do that show that this person is truly not in Christ. The way they speak, the way they deceive, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to gain something from you. They want to benefit something from you for their own
gain.
For their own gain, for their own belly. So they will know how to convince you to bring something. Some they will say, you are going to be married this year. They even forgot that they said the same statement last year. You understand? Because they know that if we talk to this sister about marriage, that's what she likes, and she will bring more money. She will always give tithe. She will always do ABCD.
Mm-hmm.
They can even arrange. I saw one man also, was it on social media? One man of God was saying, it's like a sister manifested and started to move. And the man of God was saying, God told me that the man that you're going to fall or to touch is the one to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
The sister moved the whole church until she reached on one particular man, then she fall on that particular man to touch that man. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You already see that there is no truth in this.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
You understand? That particular person will be wearing those high heels, will balance herself. If it's a spirit of God, imagine, or whatever spirit, wearing those heels, you should fall even within two steps. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But already you can see that, there is no truth in this. There is something that is being staged, or something that is being done, trying to convince people so that at the end of the day, more people will come and more money will come in the ministry.
I hear you.
You understand it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea is to make people to be more in church, and the man of God will make more money because the church is his. It doesn't say it's the church for God. Say it's my church. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
She is the center of everything. Everything centralized mm-hmm. through him. It can be money, or it can be what. Everything passes through him.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. But if they're false, can we still call them men of God?
If you are a false prophet, because people they don't know, or they can't come and point you out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people, they will call you man of God.
Mm.
But those who know about you, they will not call you man of God.
Of course.
You understand? Because you are not man of God. You are actually man of Belial. You are man of the enemy.
Mm.
You understand? You are working for the enemy. So you cannot be called a man of God. It's not right to call you man of God while you are doing things that are contrary to the assignment of God.
Okay. Miracle, the ball is back in your court. Of course, we're still talking about false prophets, and you have a lot to share with us. Kindly, please go ahead. Miracle?
Oh, I don't know. It's me you're talking to. Oh, sorry. yes. Okay. But how do you expect me to tally up all that I want to say within this very short time?
Stop looking at the time, please, and just do the needful.
Now, the problem is that I need to address the question of that brother and also say some certain things that are relevant. Because now, do you know that a false prophet has a way of manipulating his audience? By tricks, by some gimmickries, that can either be by intelligence or by the operation of a familiar spirit. Okay? So a false prophet can do that. And it will look real to the people. Whereas someone who is outside there that really understands the ways of God, once he comes, these things does not work on him. Have you ever seen people coming? There are some people that prophets can easily prophesy over them. These so-called prophets.
Mm-hmm.
They can easily prophesy over, but there are some people that they cannot.
Okay.
Because their visibility is not there. They can't see them in the spirit. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
They are covered in, they cannot be seen. They say he's a prophet, but he can't tell you anything about you. Because you're a child of God, you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost in you, and, you know, you're a hot believer in the Lord. So that is very, very obvious. Now, how do you now distinguish these people? How do you know that this one is a false prophet from a true one? You know, I've been mentioning their traits all this while.
Mm-hmm.
So I want us to see how can we distinguish them. And one litmus test is by word of God. that brother was talking about some scriptures that are not captured in the Bible. They might also be relevant. Well, they might be relevant for extra reading. But sincerely, they might be relevant for that. But sincerely, for what concerns life, the operations of God, and your going to heaven, the canon of scriptures, how that it has been, these scriptures were brought forth by men who were inspired and has sat down and has connected scriptures to scriptures to see if the scriptures relate to themselves, because they cannot stand just with that scripture you quoted. Yes, it cannot stand without a meat. So, and they went by context. And they were able to bring out these things. Now, some people will say, are they not human beings? Of course, they're human beings. And also, don't forget, it was also human beings that were inspired to write the scriptures.
Okay.
Human beings were the ones inspired to write the script. They were inspired by God to write the scriptures. They were humans. So even those ones that canoned it, that brought the relevant books that make up the 66 books in the Bible, are also men. And they did that by the inspiration of God. God directed them to do that. If God, for such a delicate book like the Word of God, God will not overlook allowing men to out of what is relevant for the salvation or the eternal life of mankind. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that should be settled, that all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and they are okay. Within the ambit of what is captured from Genesis to Revelation,
mm-hmm.
is essential for all spiritual experiences, all spiritual operations, and even for eternal life itself. Okay? So the Word of God is scriptures. You can easily pick, you can know that, okay, this one is not of God, this one is of God. You must have to be a Bible Christian. Then you must have, you must be a praying one. And what I mean, in fact, let me just join it. You must be a praying and fasting kind of person. So you can be alive in the spirit. If you're alive in the spirit, it's easy to discern. And so that will lead me to testing the spirit. Because it's by the spirit of discernment that you can actually test the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that, believe not every spirit. You understand? So already there's an injunction not to believe. believe every spirit. If a prophet comes before you, even if he says he is of God, even let not say he says he is of God. Let's say he is of God. There is an opportunity for you not to believe him immediately. It is good for you to test, to try the spirit, and to see if actually this spirit is operating by God. And how would you know? How would you know? Because the spirit must have, there must be a synergy between the physical man that wields the spirit. That is, that prophet that is actually representing God there. That man, his life and his operations must have to tally to the life and operations of Jesus Christ. So if he does not confess Jesus Christ in the flesh, not just by saying it, but that the life and his operations does not tally to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's not of God. He's not of God. So it must have to tally with the Lord Jesus Christ, his operations, so that we will know that indeed this is of God. Because Jesus is the blueprint for every priesthood. Okay? So I'm not trying to say that must have to discern. And you know, there is a special gift in scriptures called the spirit of discernment.
Okay.
The gift of discernment, sorry. The gift of discernment. And the gift of discernment is to one whom the Holy Ghost would have given such ability to discern not just good, not just evil spirits, but even good spirits, because we have different spirits. So you will be able to discern and see if this one carries a false spirit, if this one, the source of his operation is not from the Holy Ghost, you can be able to discern it. And you can also be able to discern a true man. If this person is speaking, you will know that he's speaking truth. And that he's not speaking like, he might not be a false prophet, but maybe at that instant he's trying to speak like, that was how, by the spirit of discernment, Apostle Peter was able to discern when Ananias was speaking what was not true. And the wife came and was speaking otherwise, he discerned by the spirit of God and he told her. So not because they were false prophets, but because they were speaking lies. So the gift of discernment gives you that ability to be able to distinguish very, very easily. Now, you know, just to compare it with who a true prophet is, if you tie all these things together, you will see that the fruit of the Spirit is very evident in the life of a true child of God or a true prophet of God.
Okay.
The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, you will see very visible, is something that is very evident in their life. But these ones who are not true, they are not of God, I don't, for me as a person, I don't give honor to them. I don't see them as men of God. They are not, because the Bible tells me they are not. I don't in any way submit myself to any of them. I don't listen to what they say, because I know that by scriptural standard, the Bible says, by their fruit, ye shall know them. And the fruit they are exhibiting is not the fruit of the Spirit. Rather, they are exhibiting, now the works of the flesh are manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Fornication, that's what they are exhibiting. You hear of immoral dealings of these prophets, and they claim they are prophets.
Mm.
How can a prophet be immoral? A prophet consecrated to God, he has a ministry, he is so immoral. No, drop the ministry of the prophet. Go back as a brother and learn. Before, when you have been schooled and have been poached, then come and pick the prophetics. Or pick, be a pastor, because we're not just limiting it to the ministry of the prophet. We are seeing even pastors, we are seeing even what we call them, evangelists, and the other ministries. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, please, it's expedient that we just get this straight. Let the prophet manifest the life of Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And also in deliverance. I'm rounding up, okay? And also in deliverance, you will discover that is someone who is not of God, if you tell him to confess Jesus Christ in the flesh, see, if you even tell him to repeat that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, if he does not have the Spirit of God in him, he will not be able to say it. Let's say a demon possessed. He will not be able to say just that word, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He can't confess it out and say that he came in the flesh. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the demon in him will not allow him. Because the scriptures. And these are, so it takes a man of the spirit to initiate that from that person that is demon possessed to be able to discover if that person is carrying a strange spirit in him. So, well, that is, by the way, I can't shed more light on it. Now, to conclude, concerning his question, I just want to bring about three striking things very briefly, and then I will throw the mic, and I promise I will not talk again. Okay, so...
okay. Anyway, continue, please.
Okay, now, I'm trying to say that, now, concerning the place of anointing oil in the church, our brother Bernard must have to remember that there were just few instances in scriptures about the use of oil. Mm. Now, it was common in the Old Testament, and the oil came upon some sect of people. It wasn't for general use. He must remember that. It came on some certain sects of people. The kings were allowed to be anointed. Mm. Then priests were to be anointed. You understand? High priests, and then those other, the Levites, who were also to be consecrated with oil. And then there were now objects that were to be anointed. Utensils that will be used in the house of God were also to be anointed. But you shouldn't forget that the servants of God were not anointed. They were not anointed with oil. I'm talking about visible oil now. We're not talking about spiritual anointing itself. Because I remember you were talking about choosing, the difference between being chosen and being anointed. Yes. So you can just be chosen for a service, but that doesn't mean you carry the anointing for that service. So because it will be visible as you are administering to people, it's going to show that you are really an anointed. That's why you will see them say anointed man of God. It's more like a tautology, but it makes sense, because some people do. They are really believers, but the anointing is not very high on them. The Spirit of God comes upon you. The coming of the Holy Ghost itself is an anointing. Because when it descended on Jesus, it gave him abilities. So aside that, if it comes upon you as a human being, you are anointed, but it's just that there are measures, there are degrees to this anointing. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus. So it indicates that there are measures to the anointing. Now, connecting it to what I'm trying to say, that the anointing oil itself, the usage is very limited. And that is even in the Old Testament. If you come to the New Testament, you will see that the usage, Jesus never at any point used anointing oil. He didn't. His disciples used it once. Mm. And then, when it came to the book of Acts, you discover that there was an indication that if any is sick among you. So if we must define the usage of anointing oil according to New Testament believers, can you hear me?
I can hear. I just corrected you to say James.
James, thank you. If we must define the use of anointing oil according to the New Testament believers, we can say that the usage is restricted to the sick. Is any sick among you? And when they went, the disciples of Jesus, they used it on the sick. So, but what are they using anointing oil for now? In those days, we know that the Holy Ghost was not there. It just came upon a few. And then the anointing oil was just a symbol of the Holy Ghost. But now the Holy Ghost is right here with us. If you have him, you're anointed. It comes with his anointing. Okay? So, which is not oil. Mm-hmm. Oil is not relevant at all. A man may never use oil in his ministry, and yet will be operating in the miraculous. Never. So to tell you that oil itself does not carry, but this false prophet, they exaggerate the usage of it. They take it beyond the scope of even the sick. And ideally, we will assume that maybe these men of God maybe they don't have the Holy Spirit, and that is why they are using oil. Mm. If that is the case, we will understand, yes, that maybe they don't have the Holy Ghost. So they are still using this, just like you are in a modern age, but you are trying to use old school ways of doing things. You are using the analog, this thing in the digital world. I don't know if you get it.
Mm.
So I just hope I'm not confusing someone out there, but don't blame me. It's the time. I'm so sorry about that. So that is it for anointing oil. And then finally, on the issue of that the Holy Ghost, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost will come and teach us all things. But that was not where he stopped. He said, whatsoever I have commanded you. He will teach you what I have commanded. He's not going to bring some other things that that are beyond the captures or the captions of scriptures. The Bible says all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And the Bible, sincerely, if you've been a Bible Christian, and if you've read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will understand that the Bible brought out principles that affect every bit of our life and operations of God. There are solid principles for that. There might not be word to word. For example, like do not smoke. You know, there's even a contention about smoking. Because there's not any place captured in scriptures that do not smoke. But we know the principle of righteousness will not allow you as a believer to smoke. The Holy Ghost in you will be revolting if you should carry a cigarette and be smoking. Likewise to drinking. That's why the fact that people still defend it, they say Timothy took a little wine because of his stomach infirmities. But they don't understand that the principle of righteousness is a life, it's a principle. The operations of it will not allow you to do some other things. So people that also believe in a doctrine called the doctrine of eternal security, that once you're saved, you're forever saved. So it means that any sin you commit after you have received Jesus Christ, it does not affect you going to heaven. See, it's another doctrine on its own. I just wish maybe one of these days you, it will have a see host us for such kind of
miracle. Your time is now officially up.
So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, just stay there, right? Now over to my first guest, and I've also been receiving some calls, and now I'll also open the line. 083-288-401 is the number in studios. You can still come through. We have an extra 15 minutes, even if it clocks 9 o'clock. So please come through and air your opinions and contributions right here on Life Lessons. Now the ball is back in your court. Guest number one. I'm betting that you have a lot, to say also in this regard.
Issue of the false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the brother also had made it clear that these false prophets, the way they will exaggerate the use of this anointing oil and holy water. Nowadays there is holy water, and like I said, also that there is now also holy air. So the way it is being used, it's totally unbiblical. It's totally the abuse of it and the abuse of the word of God, because these false prophets, their agenda is not to direct people to God, but they are directing people to themselves, and they are directing people to these substances. They are stealing the glory of God. They are removing the faith of innocent people and putting it on the substances. Like, for example, nowadays people, they believe their marriage is being held together by the anointing oil. But in reality, anointing oil doesn't hold marriages. Only our Lord Jesus Christ will hold your marriage together. And also to speak about how they prophesy. Their prophecies, they are based on what they are going to benefit or what they are going to gain from different individuals. Mm. They cannot, if they know that me, I am a wealthy man, or I have got, I am more blessed than others, the prophecy that comes to me will be a very good one, such that it will encourage me to
continue being in the church.
To continue being in the church and giving in the church.
Okay.
But you'll find out that another person who is having a genuine problem will not
be seen or will not receive any true prophecy, because the spirit that they are using, it's not the true spirit. It will not see the need that is in that particular person.
Mm.
It will not, the spirit they are using, it will not see that this man is suffering this kind of a challenge. So their prophecies, they are biased.
Mm.
In other words, they are biased. They are based on what is their interest with different individuals.
I hear you.
There are some other people who have been in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
and also they have never been prophesied. Why? Because they are being despised. They are
for
not.
Lack of money.
Yeah, they are not seeing like they can do something for the man of God.
Mm, I hear you.
And also, these false prophets, they charge to do the assignment that God gave them. That is why we say they are not men of God, because if the assignment was really coming from God, it's supposed to come free. It's not supposed to come with a price.
In other words, freely, you have received freely.
Yes.
Okay. Life lessons, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
Yes. Is this Bernard?
Yes, Brendan, actually.
Oh, sorry, Brendan. Brendan, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I just have some few things to actually just touch on a little bit. But first and foremost, let me just address the last statement that my brother just said now,
mm-hmm.
concerning prophets charging and whatnot. You see, ministry is not easy. and if you're one that operates in ministry, you will understand that to just get to fund electricity itself is expensive. And equipment by themselves, to operate them is expensive. So you need finances to carry the word of God. The word of God is free, but to take the word of God to the nations out there, it requires finance. So sometimes to come and say that you as a man of God to finance everything, if you have the capacity, go ahead and do so. But those that you are serving, if they are open to come in and come and assist you, they should. But in most cases, people do not like to finance the word of God. Why? Because they like to receive it freely from God.
Mm.
But the truth is that it takes finance, really,
mm.
to finance the word of God.
Mm.
So that's why now you see men of God now coming in and saying, okay, we have this program, but you require a $50 for you to access the program. That is just a strategy from the man of God to channel in finance so that electricity or bills can be paid.
Mm. I think that one is reasonable. But I think in terms of you have to see the prophets and you're being charged $1,000 or $500 just to come and see prophets or man of God on one-on-one. Is that right?
Okay, sometimes no, it's not right. But I would say maybe depending on why the man of God is saying it, but in most cases, I don't think really. Maybe the man of God is, as I said, wants to do that as a strategy to bring in finance into the ministry because there is no proper finance flow.
So but then what happened? What happened to tithes and offering? I mean, generally, a church has people giving their tithes and their offerings. Isn't that then supposed to be sufficient? Maybe it might not be sufficient, but at least help in some sort of way.
What about those who don't have money to pay the man of God so that he will see something about them, so that they will hear the message that God has given the man of God? So is it that only those who are wealthy are going to be receiving from the men of God? Or God will only give the messages to those who are going to be able to pay? Remember those the way they operate with these payments. It's not only even one person that you are paying. It's a chain of people. Mm. For you to reach that false prophet or that man of God, you would have separated with a lot of money until you pay the final money and speak to the man of God. In the event that you did not pay or you don't have, the false prophet will never even look at you. They won't even entertain you because you did not pay. And are the messages from God are coming through payments, or how are they being coming to the man of God? Okay. Is it because when you paid, that's why God will say, here's the message for this child of mine. You paid how much? Oh, so much. This is the message to this child of mine. Okay. The way they're doing the things.
Let me give it over to Bernard. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, no, I don't really. Yeah, okay, now the, because there are two questions now, and I'm a little bit, okay. But here is the thing. You see, as a man of God, you should, you know, all this, you should be very intelligent so that your ministry doesn't die, I would say, because of the finances and all that. Now, it is not to say that just because you charge maybe for one-on-one, then the other, then those that are poor will not have access to the anointing of God. As a man of God, you should be intelligent enough to make access the anointing even to those that do not have the proper finance, maybe on one-on-one. I believe the reason why men of God charge on one-on-one, it is because that is when people have an opportunity to come face-to-face with the men of God and come and so that the men of God can deal with their issues on a personal level. So people are willing to come and give in finance so that their problems can be dealt with. And the man of God knows that this money now, because there is a demand on the anointing for one-on-one, there will be money coming in that we can now use probably to pay for the rented instruments or to pay for the electricity. So then that becomes a strategy. But also sometimes the tithe also, yes, it does pay play a role. But maybe also sometimes it cannot really be enough. So that is why these strategies are put in place so that the ministry can go forward. Mm. So you as a man of God, you cannot just say, okay, because I'm sent by God, now I'll really just depend on God for the ministry to go forward. No, 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 no. You have to strategically, you know, channel finance into the ministry.
Okay.
So I think on that part, on finance, unless there is, question,
but no. It's okay. You can go ahead with what else you wanted to say, but Miracle wanted to interject. Just let me give him a chance while you're there, and then I'll also open the line for other people. Miracle, you have an objection?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Yes.
Okay. I consigning giving to the man of God to see him. Actually, that by itself is not Christ-like. What I mean by Christ-like is because Christ is the perfect example for every priesthood. And sincerely, God gave provision. Just like what you're talking about, tithe and offering, there's a provision for giving like that. And people can be inspired to give. You know, what God loves is a cheerful giver.
Mm.
But when you begin to say, because you want to accept the man of God one-on-one, and so you have to pay a particular fine, does not really justify the scriptures that says, freely ye have received, freely give. Do you really understand what the scripture is saying? That you have received this not by any payment, not by your own works. It's God's gift. That's why we call it gift. Excuse me. To receive a gift, must have to pay for it. So, to receive a gift, I'm asking, must you have to pay for it?
No, you don't
likewise,
have to pay for it.
The administration of giving that gift to another person, there is no charge attached to the gospel. Mm. God who has called you into ministry should sustain you in ministry. He will direct people to bless you without even putting that kind of protocol so that they can be able to access you. They must have to pay. In fact, I'm surprised that is even happening. Some of us are not familiar with it around this place.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have had some people, yes, the first time I had it, it was somewhere that they need to pay something. I said, oh, wow, how? Hey, where in the Bible? How? By what?
Okay. Miracle, your point is clear. Let's hand over to Bernard so he can round up and I can open the line for other people. Bernard, go ahead.
All right. You see, God of can channel people to come and give freely to you. But it is not everyone that is intelligent enough to hear can do that demand of God to come and really support your ministry. Let's just be honest with it. You know, there is even a part in the scripture where God says, if you go into their house that they don't listen, you dust your feet. So it's not everyone that has a generous heart. And to be honest with you, men of God are going through a lot to an extent whereby they are sent to go and preach the gospel, but there is no one coming in to freely give. So what do they have to do? There is a call upon them. There is an anointing upon them. And they are seeing the anointing dry up. So they have to channel or find ways to bring in the finance. And it's not that they are taking in really that money for them to eat, but it is for the ministry. Because we always assume that when people are giving money for a program or the man of God is charging, then it is going to the man of God. But of course, sometimes it really does for those that are greedy and all that. But it is not always that the man of God eats that money. And I was looking for the scripture. I think it's in the Old Testament. I'm not sure which scripture is that.
What does it say?
There was a man of God that was hungry. And then there was food that was brought to the altar. And the man of God asked, I am hungry. What can I do? And God said, go and eat the food that is what? On the altar. And it was forbidden.
David, he ate the shoe bread when he was coming from the wilderness.
And it was forbidden that no one should eat from, because that was food given to the gods. So it was sacrifice given to the gods and no man was supposed to eat it. And the money that people bring into church, it's supposed to be for God, isn't it? So if sometimes...
You're making sense, go ahead.
So sometimes the man of God can really be instructed by God and say, the money that was brought on the altar, take it and use it. And you as a member, you have no say to come, you have no right to come and say, hey, why eating out? It's God has say, take, eat the shoe bread.
Actually, of course, I'm not sure with particular scripture. I think Miracle Tabani will actually help me get that. What the farmer is first partaker of the vineyard, of the fruits. So it's not really wrong that the pastor also gets to eat from what comes into the church, because he must be sustained at the end of the day, just like any other worker or any other teacher or, I don't know, an educator, somebody who works will obviously benefit from what comes in because they're the one handling it. So, okay?
Amen. So I think I have answered my brother's question on that. And I just have one more last thing that I just wanted to also tackle on. That I think it was all my brother that came in and said that that the Holy Spirit will not come and reveal things again to us because it has already been written. You see,
that's a wrong statement.
I'm not sure how it was said, but it was kind of like in the line that, because I said, I came in to say that we should be open-minded. Because Jesus said that there are some things that I cannot teach you, but the Holy Spirit will come and teach you on a later basis.
And we'll put all things into your remembrance.
Amen.
Mm.
So then I think a brother came in and said that, no, the Holy Spirit will only come and teach you that which is written and won't reveal anything new to you again.
It will all align anyway, because at the end of the day...
100% it will align. But what I wanted to say is this, and I just wanted to quote Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where he said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Proceedeth from the mouth of God. Meaning that there is a written word of God, and then there is the preceding word of God. The preceding word of God is the word that is coming from the mouth of God right now at this instant as me and you are discussing over this, basically right as we are having this discussion, there is a word that is coming from the mouth of God now. Probably he is discussing with an angel, or he is discussing an agenda. And that agenda is not written in the word of God. Only a few individuals can really pipe into the spirit and hear what God is saying right now. So that can become a revelation. So now if you say that God is not speaking now and I will limit myself to scripture, then you will miss out on the revelation God is speaking now.
I agree.
Because not every word I can teach you now and you can handle, but the Spirit of God will come on a later basis and come and teach you.
I agree. Of course, we shouldn't limit ourselves to say, I will only base myself on that which is written in scriptures, because revelations do come. I hear you.
Yeah, 100%. So,
okay.
Yeah. So that was my last word.
Bernard, thank you so much. You have really helped also expand this topic really thoroughly. Thank you so much for your contributions.
Sorry. There was one last more again.
Okay, one more minute.
In seconds.
Okay.
You see, also, you know, when we're dealing with this whole thing of false prophet, true prophet, I think we should change it to not false prophet versus true prophet, but to fake prophet versus true prophet.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between true, false, and fake.
Mm.
False is someone that has just missed the truth, but it doesn't mean that they are fake. Fake is someone that has missed everything, including the truth.
Okay.
For an example, you see, the disciples were chosen by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain point in the Bible, in the look of in the book of Luke chapter 8 towards 9, where they were casting out demons, but they could not cast out devils. Were they false, or were they fake? Were they true? But there was a point whereby they were now endued with power and they could cast out the devils. So were they false, were they true, or were they fake?
Okay. So in other words,
a false man of God is simply just an individual that hasn't yet tapped into the truth yet. But a fake man of God or a fake prophet is one that is completely out of the truth. So a false prophet just needs more time, more training perhaps, or just more alignment into the truth so that they can become true. So it's not that every false prophet you see or any man of God that you see that is manifesting in a way that you do not understand, then you say they are fake. No. It's just that they haven't yet gotten into their ripe season.
Okay. I think that's clear. We have come to the conclusion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Miracle, just your goodbyes in 1 minute and I hand over to Brother Tapani. Just goodbye to the listeners.
Okay, thank you so much, listeners. Thank you for your audience. And myself, I'm humbled, and I am grateful again for giving me such opportunity. I just want to leave you with this word. Please be an original Christian. That's the only way you can distinguish what is fake. If you are original, then you will know what is fake. But if you're able to distinguish what is fake.
Okay.
Pray very well. Make sure that the Lord directs your path into what to do and who to even submit yourself under. Listen to them and judge their messages by the word of God so that you can really know if you're on the right path. So thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Tavani, over to you. Your closing remarks in just a minute.
Okay, thank you. I really thank you for this wonderful session that we had. Just what I want to say to the children of God out there, you need to be very careful of the man that you call your pastor, your prophet, your evangelist. You need to verify them with the scripture. You need to know them, if they are really doing the assignment of God or it's just for themselves. And as well, you children of God, you have to also repent from all these things that are making the false prophets to be in existence. Because they are there because you are supporting them, because you are backing them, because you are the one who is fueling their growth. So you need to be very wise, pray well, fast as well, for God to help you to understand the man that you call yourself a pastor or the man that is your prophet. And also to add on, the fact that we are speaking about false prophets, there are also true prophets. Pray, go before the Lord in prayer and ask God to direct you to the right place. Ask God to help you to be in the place where it will take you to heaven.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brother Tabani, for making time for us right here and helping us to break this down. And of course, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of Life Lessons. I must say on the reader news analysis. But we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of Life Lessons. Now do tune in every Saturday from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Thankfully today, we were handed over, a few more minutes just so we can, do justice to the topic. I sure hope that we have. And with that being said, from Indah Fire, it is goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful evening and a restful Sunday. Do stay tuned for Thought Digest with Benedict as she's coming in to keep you company throughout the night. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I. My friend, why do you seem so...
Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha would take your kabuna, imatina, omjo. Chikao shafas and anana, longishifa, ya, she became a shiwana. E moyao, or tango got samweni. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, orangeka. Saitanina, omeguro, nidanitoma, yue, longishifa, yokupira, mo igelefe, media house. Gwe 20 pimeleha, o kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki wimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.